Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the don't nearly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal podcast. I was just telling the boys and girls below that I'm all over the place. I'm still so excited from last night. I can't even begin to tell you how amazing and fantastic today has been. But before we get into any of that, first of all, let me welcome my guests. So I want to welcome back Suburban Gooner Chris, who's I've missed his rants about Cedric and his just his rants. Welcome back, young Christopher.
You won't get any rants from me today. You'll only get positivity, happiness, endorphins and all of that jazz because, yeah, in a good place right now, people. In a good
considering
place.
Where you've been and what, you know, where you've been for the last week, I'm not surprised you're all mellowed out. Then coming back to this is just the most perfect present to land to, isn't it, really?
100%.
Right. And my little sidekick, who's with me most weeks now, my lovely little Cookie below. I've got to call him Cookie for everybody because we've got two Jameses and I'm going to get confused. So, Cookie, welcome to the show.
Hello again. I'm not so sure about the little, but I suppose on here I do look, you know, like you're towering over me. But yeah, I'm very well. Looking forward to this tonight.
Oh, me too. And welcome back to the show, one of my favourites, one of my close buddies. Just, I love him to pieces. LL Cool J, James Johnson, welcome back to the Same Old Arsenal Pod.
Good evening. Thank you very much. Yeah, someone has to do it, and that someone is you. So thank you very much.
It's me. So first of all, I need to apologise to Cookie, because yesterday I was like, should we go post-game live if we win? Should we do it? Should we not? And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to talk such utter nonsense, more nonsense than I normally talk, because I was all over the place like everybody else. Right. Hello, everybody in the chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. I've got so many things to say, but I'm going to leave it to the guests as well, obviously. We're all in a very good mood. If you're top of the league, can you press like, please? And if you're top of the league, can you please subscribe? There we go. Got that in quick, didn't I? Everyone in the chat room, whatever we talk about, please ask us questions. We're going to answer everything. We're all on a high. I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Cookie, how did you feel with the build-up? And this is going to go to all of you. And I know Suburban is a little bit different for you because you was abroad. But how have you been? Because I have been, since about Thursday, plutzing and stressing and, like, all the what-ifs, you know. And obviously, City had to play United before us on the Saturday. And I personally, weirdly, wanted City to win because I think United are better than City at the moment. But we'll get to that in a second. How was your build-up?
I did feel relatively calm, to be honest, because I feel like, take Spurs out of the equation, it is a game that, player for player, we were seeing all these combined 11s going into the game. Just like, there's only one obvious player that I would take out of that Spurs team. And based on yesterday's performance, I wouldn't even have him at the minute. So, I mean, I was feeling quietly confident. I didn't want to, you know, be too confident because, you know, going into these games, it's a derby, anything can happen. But our form has been so good. We look so imposing, so dominant going into games, as we showed yesterday. We had every reason to be confident. Obviously, when the game came round, I was feeling a little bit jittery, a bit nervous yesterday. But I don't think we've got any reason to doubt this Arsenal team. I wouldn't care if they were playing Bayern Munich or, you know, whoever. I feel like we can honestly beat anyone at the minute. And we've gone through so many stern tests this season that we would have crumbled at last season. And it all started from that away day victory on the first game of the season against Crystal Palace. And we've just carried it on from there. Team's looking really good. We're just oozing with confidence.
Cookie, you've gone through the whole thing. I just said, how did you feel? You've
done my build-up. I've not done the game, Amanda. I've not done the game. It's all my build-up. You wanted me to talk about my emotions. Here I am. I'm pouring my heart out to you. You want me to stop?
And okay.
I'll stop.
James, what was your feeling Saturday? Did you want City or United? Have you got the result you wanted with United beating City or not?
I would have preferred a draw, but I said a couple of days before that Man United are definitely getting a point or 3 points out of that game. I did not see City winning that game at all. And then I was not worried at all about our game Sunday.
Not worried one bit?
Nope.
You're not normal.
No, they're awful. Look at their defence. You look at our attacker. We ain't even got our main man. Yeah, you knew we were going to... I was like, when Paul Merson was in there and they were all like, oh, come on, Paul, you're a bit... And he was like, well, what? What have you got that's going to scare Arsenal?
Yeah, Paul Merson was brilliant yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was honest. He said exactly... I felt like what I thought in my head was coming out of his mouth on the television. I loved it.
Did you see when whoever it was with him went, all right, we might as well go home then because Arsenal are going to win. Arsenal are going to win.
Yeah.
So you weren't nervous at all. I'm always nervous. I just think it's my age and the fact that I've supported this club for about 45 years or whatever it is. And these are the big games, aren't they, Suburban? So you booked your holiday because it was your wife's 40th. Happy 40 to your lovely, the management. And did you not realise that you'd be flying home during the North London Derby?
Well, when we booked it, it was before they changed the fixtures and stuff. And I made the assumption that it would be on a Saturday, probably an early morning thing or something like that. But yeah, a bit of a faux pas on that part. I have rewatched the game, though, in its entirety. So since then. But yeah, pre-game, bit weird. But it was also super uncomfortable because I couldn't watch it live because I was literally in the air flying back. And as I was saying to you just before we went live, my hands were like, there was a nervousness on the entire flight. It's a 10-hour flight. So I started like in the morning UK time and I was nervous the whole time. Also because I couldn't get any Wi-Fi signal whatsoever on the plane.
My God.
So I had like a complete media blackout. So in terms of the comparative prep or the way in which all of you guys approached or absorbed the match, for me, it was just terrible. I tried to console myself with lots of different movies and things, but I spent half the time like not really paying attention to what was on the screen and keeping repeatedly looking at my phone to see if the Wi-Fi would reconnect. And alas, it didn't. And then we'll get to the game in itself, but I can only, as I said to you before, and I can only log on when we touched down, which was on about the 85th, 86th minute. And all of a sudden, you got all of these WhatsApps popping in about how different groups that you're in, different groups that I'm in, saying, you know, this is happening, that is happening. And then you get to I managed to fire up my Sky Go on my phone and just see what's happening, unfolding. And yeah, elation, but then also all of that stress and nervousness, it just evaporated away.
Yeah, I can sort of get that. I mean, it was weird because I just went out with Carl and the dog for a walk in the morning just to sort of clear my head and I just get so stressed. I think it's because where I've grown up, you're either Arsenal Spurs, you know, and my whole life is surrounded by Arsenal Spurs. And you feel like this massive pressure because the pressure is on us every single game now, regardless of whether you think we're going to win, the pressure's on. And that sort of added to the pressure of a North London derby. Then I was worried about quite a few of the people I knew there because of, you know, the trouble that goes on out. I hate all that. And I think it just built up and I thought, Tottenham cannot beat us. We are too good. They cannot beat us. Please can't. We can't have an off day. You know, I did this tweet that, wow, it went a little bit viral, which was hilarious. everything we spoke about, Cookie. Do you remember last week when we said Harry Kane will get his penalty? The ref will, you know, VAR will go against us. We'll have Saliba and Saka get booked, which then means they'll miss United. Richard Keys will blame Arteta for everything and all this. I did this whole massive tweet Saturday morning where millions of people, hundreds of people retweeted it, because that's how we all felt. Yet not one of the things that I tweeted in all the 6 points I did came true. And it was my reverse psychology, everyone. So you can thank me. This is the reason we won. It was reverse psychology. I had a lot of Tottenham fans go for me and say, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, no. Harry Kane gets his standard penalty every time against us or scores. But it was just like, I was looking forward to it a little bit more than I was nervous. But I said we wouldn't lose, but I really thought we'd get a draw. Everyone on our podcast last week, apart from me, thought we'd win. I didn't. I just thought they're just going to do it. I think what's happening, everybody, is I'm waiting for us to collapse, because it's year after year is the same thing. And I think that's what's happening, where I'm just so nervous. But it was just an amazing feeling. Obviously, we'll go through the game. So, Cookie, the team is what we expected. Now, during the game, I was screaming for Arteta to bring Tierney on. Not that I don't love Zinchenko, but I think Tierney, we needed him. So we're going to discuss that in a moment. But, Cookie, the team comes out. What was your prediction last week, by the way? So I know you went for a win, didn't you?
I think I was overly confident and I went for something like a 4-0. I'd have to go back and have a look, but I know I was feeling confident, and I saw a lot of people in the build-up to the game following that United result saying that, oh, you know, a draw is absolutely fine. Just go there and don't lose. I was like, that's not the attitude we should be having. We should definitely be going into this game thinking we absolutely should win it, because like I was saying earlier, player for player, we've got a better team. We're playing much better football. Spurs, that Palace result aside, which, you know, was very flattering on them, because they definitely weren't worthy of a 4-0 winning that game. We had to win this game. No ifs, no buts. We're a better team than them. Doesn't matter if we're home or away. Yeah. If we play our football, we've got to win this game. And that's exactly what we did. And on that note, I've actually forgotten the question you've put to me.
There isn't. Do you know what? I have to apologise. I'm absolutely useless tonight, because I'm just sitting here going through the game in my head, forgetting I'm the host and not a guest. So I'm going to switch. All I'm saying, Cookie, is, I mean, we want to talk about the whole game, but Chris, because you weren't here, Cookie and James, how good was the first half? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give that first half, Cooks?
Ooh. If that party goal had gone in, it would be a 10.
What a shot.
I think, you know, it's a 9. It's got to be a 9. There were, I mean, think maybe 2 chances Spurs had. There was that one off Kane where Ramsdale made a great save. And there was one other one, which I can't quite remember. But again, the Sessegnon one, which is also a great save. Ramsdale was brilliant, by the way, and I'm sure we'll talk about him as well. But for large parts of that game, we had Kane playing in between the centre halves, playing at left back, the same for Son. We just had them camped in their own half. And it was bullish. And that's what you want to see when you go to Spurs away. It was fantastic.
So what out of 10 would you give it?
9.
Okay, I was thinking 9. We've got Karen Russell giving it 11, Nigel Plum giving it 11. James?
Yeah, it's a solid 9. It would have been a 10 if Eddie Nketiah scored that one where Lloris made his first mistake. Sadly, yeah, he just rushed at it with his left foot. But, you know, he did everything right yesterday, apart from score, Eddie.
Yep. And that's what's going on, isn't it? He's doing everything right. Every single thing you want him to do, he's doing right. But Jesus is the same. He had not been scoring, but doing everything right, James.
But this is the thing, Amanda, right? Everybody was going about, they were worried about Eddie. And I was saying to him, look, don't panic. Because I've always said this guy is a top-tier goal scorer. Mm. Like, he'll always find that... he's never scored a goal outside the box. So the guy's a poacher. You know, he's a marksman. But I said he's developing from just being that goal scorer into a better footballer, which is sadly what you never... When we had Aubameyang and Lacazette, you had Aubameyang that was a great goal scorer, but in terms of a footballer, nowhere near. You had Lacazette that was a bit of a better footballer, but he had no pace and he didn't have the goals. Now we've got Jesus that does both. Okay, he didn't score as much before he got injured and everything else. And you've got Eddie that scored. But Eddie is slowly developing into a better footballer that's linking up. He ran that back three ragged yesterday that allowed the space for the other players to do what they needed to do. That's the best, one of the best games I've ever seen Eddie play. And he didn't score.
And that's what Carl said. Eddie was awesome, yeah. Worked his ass off, yeah. And he absolutely did. But he does most games. He does. You know, it's just, could you imagine if he could just convert some goals, honestly, convert a little bit more than he's doing? It'd be awesome. And the fact that Jesus is to come back, and obviously Emil Smith-Rowe's just starting to come back as well. You know, I'm not going to mention Mudryk. Is anyone disappointed that we didn't spend that sort of money and get him? Because I honestly
Not after all that.
No, obviously not. But if we would have lost, I think there would have been a lot of that yesterday.
Yeah, but that would have been from people that you expected to be from. That wouldn't have been a shot, you know.
Those
type of people I don't listen to anyway.
No. But the thing is, I've always, and you know this, James, you know that I won't discuss transfers. I don't do transfers. I don't do any of it. For the last 10 years I've been on podcasts.
Still don't think we're going to win the league. Yeah,
I'm not interested.
Yeah,
no.
I know all of that. Yeah,
but let me tell you what happened this week. I got reeled in to this Mudryk. I thought we were going to sign him. I start talking about him. And hello, and I'm still convinced 10 minutes before... Fabrizio, whatever the journalist is, came out and said he's gone, Chelsea have gone in. I was still convinced. So, Chris, this is why I say to you, I don't discuss transfers. Until they sign, I am never discussing another transfer. I don't even do it anyway. So I got reeled in. But anyone upset about it? He doesn't look very happy, to be honest, going to Chelsea. But anyway, go on, Chris.
I think the challenge that he will have is... Much like Nicolas Pepe, he's now going to be labelled as 100 million euros or 88 million pound Mykhaila Mudryk. Every time he has an off game, that's going to be labelled against him. And you kind of want it to just absolutely fall apart, don't you? Particularly with what's happening at Chelsea and their approach, their scattergun approach. I think the thing that is more upsetting or worrying for me on that, I know we want to talk about the game and not Mudryk, but just quickly on Mudryk, the worry is that Arsenal put so many of those eggs in the basket, is that what happens now? I think that the club are probably genuinely stunned about how it's happened, and they're probably all now looking around going, right, well, what do we do now? That's my big worry, is that I don't think we'll see a reactionary just bring someone in, but maybe like Vlahovic last season, they'll just say, do you know what? We can't, you know, we're not just going to get a random in. I'll probably see people saying things like Ivan Toney and stuff like that, but he's not the sort of player, he's not going to take us to the next level. So,
And as much as you're upset, and I agree with Hatchie, he will be a good player, but we can't pay that much for him. I mean, seriously, it's like, it's like top trumps, isn't it, what Chelsea were doing? Good luck. Go there. He doesn't look happy anyway. And he was twerking for Arsenal for about 2 weeks.
Amanda, we have been played this whole time. If you look at this deal, they've organised for when the war's over that there's going to be a friendly. They've given 24 million to the war fund. There's something or other about the geezer that was there. When have you ever seen the owner or the sporting director of a club walk out on the pitch with the player?
No.
I'm like, this has been done for weeks. They've been like, play Arsenal up because then Chelsea are going to, you know, this is a genius move from Shakhtar and his agent.
Good luck to him.
But there's no way that they've just done this in the 3 days. This has been weeks and weeks planned in advance. Him on Instagram, everything. Good luck to him. Don't care. Move on.
Anyway, let's not talk about him. He plays for Chelsea. Good luck to him.
Bad luck to him.
luck to him. We don't really care. You look unhappy, but maybe you didn't have a choice. Cookie. James, Suburban, what did you give that first half? Because
it was definitely a nine. I think it was definitely a nine. I wrote down when I was watching it earlier the word control. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like the most controlled and dominant team performance in a North London derby that I can remember. Even the game where we went 3-0 up in the first half, that was last season, wasn't it? At the Emirates. Like, we controlled that through essentially making it a non-event by blitzing them with three goals quite early. But this was more like the sort of game that I've seen Man City and Liverpool do against other big six teams for the last 5 or 6 years. We never, ever seem to have those games where we just look in control. And then even though there were some things in the second half, which we'll get to, which maybe slightly were a bit nervous and Ramsdale came to our rescue a couple of times, it felt like very much that type of team at the top of the league gets their two goals and then almost plays within themselves and just sees the match out. And for me, that's one of the most heartening things about what we witnessed yesterday.
And it's interesting, isn't it, Cookie, that the word dominant, as what Chris said, is the word I was thinking of. It was calm. It was controlled. Tottenham couldn't get the ball off us. And let's just talk about the build-up for the first goal. I need to talk about each player. It was really hard to give a man of the match yesterday. I swapped between Ødegaard and Ramsdale within a few minutes. But our midfield, we have to talk about Thomas Partey, Cookie. How good is that player?
Ooh, what a player. He's the one that I'm probably most worried about if he was to get injured. As I'm sure we all are, because, you know, we can talk about players that could come in this window to fill in for him, but there is genuinely no other player like him. There just isn't. At the minute, there's no one that is on his level in terms of what he brings defensively, in terms of control, in terms of what he does going forward. You know, we used to play a 4-2-3-1 where we needed someone alongside Partey, but we're in a position now where we can just have him on his own, occupying that position, and he does everything. You know, there's no it's no coincidence that when he was at Atletico Madrid, they used to call him the Octopus, because he's just absolutely everywhere. And we're so lucky to have a player like him, because, you know, compare him to someone like Casemiro at Manchester United, who's doing a great job, but he's very much a traditional defensive midfielder. Whereas I wouldn't really regard Partey as that. You don't really see him making crunching tackles all the time, because we're so in control of the game and dictating how it's played out that he's in a position now where he's able to pick the right pass. I mean, it was his ball over the top, wasn't it, for the first goal? He's just such an influential player on this team. And yeah, he is the one that, if he does get injured, the drop-off to Elneny or Lokonga, that is the one I worry about a lot.
Chris, best midfielder in the country at the moment, in the league?
Without a shadow of a doubt, unless you're going to talk about players like Martin Ødegaard.
No, and you know, it's funny, someone said that.
But if you're looking at Ødegaard as a midfielder, and it depends on, you know, which sort of team sheet you look at from any of the broadsheets, tabloids, or whatever it is, then there's an argument. But it was interesting what Cookie just said, and what you were talking about, as in, like, there's nobody like Partey. But actually, I feel like there's about 5 or 6 players in our team that you could say that about. Like, there's nobody like Zinchenko. Like, no. Tierney's trying to do that, like, inverted fullback type thing, but he doesn't do it as good as Zinchenko. There's nobody like Ødegaard, actually, in our team that can do what he's been doing in terms of the way in which he picks the ball up. He runs in between the lines, he finds space in between the lines, and then he plays balls in. Like, Fabio Vieira, in that Brentford game where Ødegaard was injured, did a really nice understudy job, but he still doesn't do the same things that Ødegaard does. There's nobody like Jesus. Like, Eddie Nketiah is doing a nice sort of impression, but Eddie Nketiah is a goal scorer, and that's what he does instead of what Jesus does. And we've seen that since we came back from the Christmas break. There's nobody like Saka. So I feel like that question is almost like, we can't really afford to lose any of those big players at the moment. I take your point about the Partey thing, because we don't have a, you know, maybe that's the biggest drop off, but all of them at the moment, we just got to keep as many of those guys fit, because if we can, then I might start getting excited come April.
I think Partey is the most important one, if I'm honest. Maybe Ramsdale, but Partey is the most important. What do you reckon, James? Because I think every game he's getting better and better.
Yeah, I echo what everybody said. Yeah, if he goes down, unless we go out, you know, if he goes down against Man United and we've still got time to buy someone, but who do you buy? Because there's for me, I don't know anyone else in the world that does what he can do. If you can find him, then we should have bought him already, because we need one just in case. But where do you find one? Guy's absolutely sensational. absolutely sensational.
And he's getting better, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know, when he first came, James, he was sensational. Then he got injured, and then he wasn't sensational, and people weren't giving him time. You know, it's like starting a new job, isn't it? And having a little bit of a dodgy period and then picking up again. And I just think he's absolute class. We cannot do without him, James.
No. And it's like what Chris was saying about dominance and control. That guy gives you complete dominance and control. And do you know what? I grew up loving watching Patrick Vieira. Every week watching Patrick Vieira, I was blessed. And when Thomas Partey is in full flow, like Chris again mentioned, that Brentford game away, and games like yesterday where he is in complete... there's nothing better to watch. For me to watch someone like that just absolutely dictate a game, it's unbelievable. It's beautiful scenes. Absolutely beautiful scenes.
It is, and absolutely beautiful football. Right, everyone in the chat room, you can throw some questions as we're going to go through the goals and stuff now. And thank you for listening to the Same Old Arsenal. And Irish Gooner, wherever you are, is Craig ever coming back? He was back last week. His complete computer blew up. He hasn't got it fixed yet, but he's coming back. He would have been on tonight, hopefully next week after we've beaten United. Can't believe I've even said that. Touch wood. But anyway, Chris, it's a really strange goal. I can't explain what Lloris was doing. And when it went in the back of the net, me and Cole looked at each other and went, it's in the net. We've scored. Do you understand what I mean by that? Or am I being dramatic?
I think there's a couple of things. It's probably the angle from where you're watching it on television. I think as well, the away fans, if you notice, there's a split second between, there's almost like a bit of a silence as people are trying to work out what's happened. And then suddenly it just erupts, like the away corner, which is the further corner away from where that is, just erupts. And that was, I found that quite amusing. What was more amusing as was the response of Martin Tyler and Gary Neville,
who were
almost just like, oh, it's in.
Yeah, distraught.
What was interesting this though is, so I've, as I said, I rewatched it again earlier, literally about an hour and a half ago as we're recording. And the two goals that were scored, even Ødegaard's one, it was like Ødegaard, oh, he has scored. It was almost like that for that second goal. It was a really good goal that he scored. But the response was like negligible. However, having, again, because it's fresh in my mind, every time Harry Kane got near the ball, it was raised level of voice, or Son, the raised level of voice, Sessegnon. Now, I'm not going to go into conspiracy theories and say Mike Tyler and Gary Neville, don't like Arsenal or anything like that. I don't think it's that. I think it's just that both naturally wanted to see the home fans a little bit more voiced in their opinions because they were pretty muted after we'd gone 2-0 up. And then I also think that they probably don't want Arsenal running away with the league, and another victory that puts us 8 points clear, maybe to the likes of Martin Tyler and Gary Neville, whose beloved Manchester United are also chasing us down. They don't want to see that. And so I don't think it's an anti-Arsenal thing. I think it's an anti, a team that's just so dominant.
Has anyone heard Peter Drury's reaction to our goals? Yeah, Cookie, tell how amazing the difference between Martin Tyler and Gary Neville to Peter Drury. Wasn't it lovely to listen to?
Peter Drury compared to Martin Tyler and Gary Neville, I mean, it's night and day. The guy, what he's doing, like, why is he not on Sky Sports? He is genuinely a gem of a commentator. He could make the most boring goal sound exciting. And, that's kind of what he did on the first goal. He raises his levels at the right times. He's just absolutely A-plus commentator. I rate him that highly. So, so good. And we don't hear enough of him in this country. But, yeah, did a really, really good job. And, I can't stand Gary Neville. I'll be honest. When I was listening back to his post-match analysis yesterday, and he was said, oh no, I don't think they'll win the league, no, I think actually Manchester United will finish above them. That's a terrible Gary Neville accent, but
I'm getting there
but can you imagine if the tables were turned, like United just went 8 points clear at the top of the league, the stuff he would be spouting if it was United. I dread to think what he'd be coming out with. But it's obvious bias. I'm not going to get reeled into it. I mean, it's too late. I've got reeled into it. But it just winds me up. The media bias against Arsenal, you know, the FA bias against us with, you know, these recent fines that have come our way. You know, it is good because it shows we're back where we're meant to be. But it gets under your skin. It really is annoying.
But as welcome to the show, Zamir, we are back, people. The media are upset, aren't they, James? They're so upset. It's absolutely brilliant. I love it. I love it when people are upset with us.
Yeah, it's because every big test, well, what they perceive is going to be the big test, we keep passing. So it's like what they've just said. You know, they want a title race like what they've had with Liverpool and City the last couple of years, where they've had like nearly 100 points each. And it goes this one that week, that one next. And where we've been on top for over Christmas and then after Christmas, then New Year, they're getting wound up because they feel as well, you know, they're all about the viewership now because they've so much of their football and their content's been stripped away. That they're desperate to hold on to what they have, and that their whole thing is that if there is a race, you're more inclined for views. It was a bit like, you know, when Schumacher kept winning all the Grand Prix when I was young in the 90s, the viewership for Formula One went down because you knew before the start, oh, Schumacher's going to win that. And okay, Arsenal fans, we're going to watch all the games because if we keep winning, of course we are. But they want their whole thing is that they want the neutrals as well as the fans of the clubs to keep watching. But when it's a foregone conclusion that Arsenal's going to win all the time, they're going to lose their viewership. Plus, Arsenal fans, I'm sorry, we do get rattled, as clearly just said. And we will react. We will go back on Twitter to Gary Neville. Shut your mouth. We will go back to Richard Keys. Hey.
Richard Keys, we'll talk about in a second.
But it's all of them. You know, I normally quite like Simon Jordan, but him today, Spurs had a great 10 minutes in that second half. And Martin Keown went, what game did you, were you having your glass of wine at that time? But that's the thing, you know, they cling on to everything. You know, Richarlison shoves Aaron Ramsdale. Oh, that fan kicked Aaron Ramsdale. Oh, we had a good 10 minutes. Yeah, what was the score at the end, you know?
It's interesting, isn't it, Chris? Because I don't know why we're hated, if I'm honest. We try and do things the right way. We've cleaned up our acts. I'm sorry of our discipline. Look at Xhaka. I mean, we'll talk about Xhaka later, about the end of the game soon. But I wanted to get back to the goal. They honestly sounded like they were upset, the commentators. Upset, Chris. It was bizarre behaviour. And I want to just point one thing out that I've wanted to say about this match, which I noticed. When we scored, Spurs went silent. And I mean silent. You couldn't hear the Arsenal fans until we scored because of the way they do their microphones and everything. You couldn't hear them. The minute we scored, we then started to hear them. Spurs went silent at 1-0 down. The difference with our fans, if we go 1-0 down, you can't hear anything but us. And I feel that when you support your team, it's only 1-0, okay, against your rivals. You've got to build them up and pick them up. And Chris, they didn't do it. But our fans, magnifico again.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Singing from the first minute to the last minute, you'd expect that from our lot. And, you know, for the first 5-10 minutes, you're going to get a bit of noise at Tottenham, especially in a North London derby. You know, it's the same when it's at the Emirates. You know, for the first 15 minutes, it's an absolutely raucous atmosphere. And the job that you have to do as a team is to keep them quiet. And after about 5 minutes, when we started to control possession, we started to move the ball around, players started taking up spots on the pitch where they were getting space and were able to knock the ball around. And Saka was finding space time and time again against Sessegnon. I mean, it wasn't a fair matchup at times because you just see Saka pick up the ball and just drive. And it makes me smile that you've got Sessegnon that just sort of backed off of him. And then he just cut off any opportunity to cut inside. And Saka was just like, all right, you know, did you not see me whack one in with my right foot against Leeds? You know, I can quite happily go down the line and inside as well as checking back and outside, and that's what makes him so unpredictable. You know, for the second goal that we scored, He checks inside, plays the ball to Odegaard. Odegaard does the hard work. But again, if you're a left back looking at Saka bearing down on you, you're basically trying to second guess what he's going to try and do, because he can right foot, left foot, he can take it down the line, he can come inside. And that makes it really difficult to get your body position right, because if you know that someone's just a knock it down the line merchant, then you position your body differently, and then you aim to just, as long as you have positioned yourself between the goal and the wide forward enough, then you can just let them knock it down the line. If they're that rapid, sometimes you can't stop it. Sometimes you then need to back off. But what Saka does is he's so intelligent at being able to say, okay, well, I'm just going to evaluate a situation in a split second and be able to either go infield or either go down the line. And that's why he gets that space to be able to hook the ball in. And yeah, it's a Lloris mistake, but you've got to keep taking those chances. You've got to keep buying those tickets.
Unbelievable. I tell you what I found really unbelievable, Cookie, was how boring Tottenham were and how average. I won't even call them a good side, if I'm honest. How could you watch that week in, week out?
No, quite simply. I mean, the football is just the way they set up is the football's just negative. And they were even more negative in the game yesterday. I think it helps that we scored relatively early, around the 15 minute mark, because, you know, if it had gone on and on and on to around the 30 minutes, it probably would have allowed them a chance to get back into the game. All it takes is one opportunity and, you know, the game can turn on its head. But by getting that early goal, like you said earlier, it just completely silenced the stadium, swung everything in our favour, and then we went on to get the second, which we'll talk about as well. But even in that second half, when they were coming at us, you know, it was sustained pressure, but what were they doing with it? I mean, I never really felt particularly worried about what they were doing. You know, our defensive game yesterday was brilliant, by the way. Ramsdale was excellent, but I thought Gabriel in particular.
Yeah.
Oh, monstrous. Amazing game. And I think since the return of football after the World Cup, he's been low-key one of our best performers. You know, we were talking earlier on in the season about, if there's one player in our back four that is maybe a little bit replaceable or a little bit erring on the side of caution in games, it's Gabriel. Forget that. Quash that, because he has been world-class, as has so many other players in this team. But him in particular, I've really been watching his game and thinking how good he's been. But could say that about so many players. But going back to your question, if I was a Spurs fan, I would be bored to tears. And you can see why they want change at the club at the highest level, because I mean, their recruitment, they've spent even more money than us in the past year. And you look at who they bought in, Richarlison, no league goals. You know, they spent all that money on Jed Spence, never plays. You know, the good signings they have made came last January in Bentancur and Kulusevski. But apart from that, who have they really signed that's of any good? I don't know.
Conte doesn't suit them. But I just want to break off here to say hello to Cancun Ree. Hi, folks. As the only fan in my Korean community church, I left the service with a devilish smile. Korean, we just reach everywhere. Arsenal are so global. It's incredible. And I love the fact that we have so many foreign fans that love this podcast and watch it and support. Honestly, I love you all. James. Right, so first half stum. Did anyone think that he was going to give a penalty when he blew up for the first half? Was it a bit confusing?
Yeah, that was odd.
He did give it. It was only because VAR overturned it, because they realised how stupid. That's how inept Pawson is. He gave it.
I thought he did. Yeah. I thought he did. Because I heard, but the only one time Gary Neville was on our side, he went, what was he given? That's not a penalty. It can't be a penalty. I remember him saying he was doing what I was thinking. Is it a penalty? What's he giving a penalty for? Yeah. Is it a penalty? And then thank God he blew up for half time. So
he goes completely over his leg and then proceeds to start rolling after. Absolute joke, that Højbjerg. He really is.
Oh, I want to talk about
just because he runs. Just because he runs around and kicks people, they think he's one of the best midfielders in the league. It's like that defender that they had. How many tackles did he make after he got his first booking? Still stayed on the pitch. That
I know.
How many conversations did that Pawson have? Romero, whatever his name.
Romero, that's it.
Yeah, he went up to him like three times after, like, mate, you've got one more. You've got one more. You've got what? It was a joke. He should have been sent off. It was because he was too scared to upset their fan. James, the ref was intimidated. He was a coward. He was too scared to do it.
I thought the ref was all right yesterday.
No, he's shocking.
Anyone else in the chat room think he was good or he wasn't? I felt he was maybe better than I expected, maybe. So Craig wanted me to bring up something. We come out second half and he wants to talk about the fact that our first 15, 20 minutes, how disciplined we were, how controlled we were. There was no panic stations. Chris, did you feel like that? I felt it was a very odd North London derby. For me, it was so one-sided for a start, and especially as we hadn't won there for 9 years. That's why I went for a draw. But can you see what Craig was saying?
Yeah, I definitely can. I think, again, I need to caveat it because I would be a lot more nervous watching it live. 2-0 at 2-0 at half-time, you're going in saying, first half, brilliant, job done. I'll have another second half like that first half, please. But you're never going to get that much control and dominance. Tottenham are never going to, in a North London derby, just give you that much freedom. So you've got to expect some kind of pushback. And that's essentially what they tried to give us. But it always felt, and again, perhaps I'm looking at this through the prism of seeing the game, having knowing the result, so re-watching it all, having knowing the result, but it just felt like we were a team that knew that we could play within ourselves and still just keep them at arm's length. So yeah, they created chances. Yeah, they had a little bit more ball, but we knew that at 2-0, we can pick them off as well. And we probably should have picked them off actually in that second half, like the Nketiah chance. And there's one Nketiah chance where he fashions himself. It was just to the left and inside the box, to the left of the D, where he fashions a little chance and he opens his body up and you just think, just leather that, like open your body up, open your feet up and then just curve it into the top corner. And he just kind of daisy cuts it into Lloris. But yeah, it felt like we were almost keeping them at arm's length because we didn't have to go too hell for leather.
Cookie, so that's what we were talking about, was the fact that we were disciplined and controlled. I always end in the back of my mind, please don't Saka get a yellow card or Saliba, because we desperately need them against United next Sunday. So that was always in the back of my mind. I thought Saka was absolutely incredible, but every game is incredible. The boy doesn't stop and the boy is absolutely, and I will say this now, I actually think he's verging on world class. I really do think that.
He's already there.
Yeah, I do believe in this. We've got a few others that probably can be, we can say that about. But definitely Saka. It's unbelievable. And John Rowe said it. Hi, John. Welcome to the show. Sit tight for the first 15 minutes of the second half. And that's what we did. So Arteta and his tactics were just spot on. I love Zinchenko. You know I prefer him to Tierney, Cookie. We've often argued because you and Chris prefer the Tierney side at times.
Not anymore.
No? Okay, so you've changed your mind on that. But I just want to go to Cookie yesterday. Do you think, because I wanted him on, actually. I love Zinchenko and what he brings us. But I wanted Tierney on. Were you on that train, as they say? Or were you happy with everything that was going on with Zinchenko?
No, I didn't want Tierney on yesterday, I'll be honest. The only reason I wanted Tierney on maybe towards the latter stages was to preserve Zinchenko. But, you know, you make it sound like we're at each other, we're at each other's throats over Tierney and Zinchenko. I've always maintained there's going to be games for Zinchenko and there's going to be games for Tierney. But I'm going to go back on myself there because every game is a game for Zinchenko now.
You know, yeah, that doesn't matter. Where I am. Yeah.
Because we are keeping so much control in games that the defensive side of things is important. But keeping control and dictating play, to me, is even more important. When you look at what Zinchenko did yesterday, there was a moment where he took the ball on the left, did a couple of 1-2s in midfield and ended up on the right. He is that much of an exceptional addition to not just the defence, but he's a midfielder. Let's have it right. He is a midfielder when we've got the ball. And he's just so intelligent. The passes he plays, his control, his calmness, his confidence. I love him. I absolutely love him. But what I also loved about him yesterday, which has been my slight reservation about him, was the defensive side of the game, because I thought he did such a good job on Kulusevski. The amount of headers he won in the first half, towards the second half, where you could tell he was tiring a little bit, Kulusevski maybe got the better of him. But for the most part, coming up against one of the best wingers in the Premier League, did an outstanding job. And for me, as harsh as it is, and as much as I love Tierney, because I really, really do, he just doesn't get in the team. He doesn't even come close to being in the team at the minute ahead of Zinchenko, because he is that important to the way we play. When he's fit, Zinchenko plays. Simple as that.
And that's what Carl was saying yesterday. But I think when he was getting tired, that's when I wanted Tierney on, just to make sure the defensive side. So, James, are you a Tierney or a Zinchenko? I mean, look, I'm not putting them against it. It's just that I've always been Zinchenko. I love Tierney, but I've always been Zinchenko.
As soon as we signed him, I'm sorry, the level's gone up. And as much as I like Kieran Tierney, he ain't ever getting there. Sorry, he's not. He's one of them that I look at this summer. He's not going to be content with being second choice, but he's someone that's going to get us some money, because we're going to have to spend. We all know we're going to have to spend big this summer, because rightfully so, when you win the league, it's all about having to retain it.
We haven't won it yet. Oh,
when
my
when
goodness.
You win the league, Amanda, you have to settle in and get ready for the season after to how you're going to retain that title. And we need to splash big money on that number six that's going to sit underneath Thomas Partey. We need to go and buy one. And that's going to be about an £80 to £100 million purchase on that player. So as much as you can recoup, the better. And Kieran Tierney on his day will still get us money from somebody.
Oh,
because
yeah.
he's not going to be content being a second choice. And you know what? As much as I like Kieran Tierney, I'd be like, all the power to you, mate. Go be first choice somewhere else. Because he's not awful. But the level for us now is so far up, and Tierney's never going to be that player. What Zinchenko gives you is so, so good. You're not going to find someone like it.
If he was happy to play the substitute part, though, we'd keep him, wouldn't we?
No, because he's not happy to play the substitute part.
No, if he was, James, I'm just
saying. But he's not going to be.
No, I know. It's such a shame. I've always loved Tierney, but I get what you're saying. But I absolutely love Zinchenko. And what Zinchenko brings as well is experience of winning the Premier League. His experience. He thinks as well. And I just absolutely love the way we play.
Do you know what else he did really well yesterday, Amanda? And this is something that City never used to get criticised for. You know how they'd make those they used to call them, when other teams do it, oh, they're dirty or they're just, but when City used to do it, it was smart fouls.
Yeah.
Or when they were used to run the clock down, oh, they're smart and they're clever. When he got subbed yesterday, every single, I'm going to clap that bit. I'm going to tap that for a little while. I'm going to clap again. He took forever to get off that pitch. And
I know.
Was like, brilliant. Run that clock down. Run it down.
I was arguing with Carl. I said he's walking off that pitch so slowly, and he's clever. It is clever. Okay, so the second Erdegaard. I mean, look, we can't spend another 20 minutes talking about Erdegaard. We could easily.
Why not?
No, because we've got other. We've done 46 minutes already. We just need to do a show on Erdegaard. I'm telling you.
Can I just say, after my Odegaard yesterday?
Party. Yeah, go on.
I started to think I might love Odegaard more than some of the members of my family. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind. I love Erdegaard. What a captain! Magnificent, Martin. Magnificent. He's just Chris. Go, because I know how much you love him.
Yes, I do. I love the way in which he finds space on a football field where you sometimes don't know that that space exists. I love that he's just as good going forward as, he's just as good in his pressing back and dropping back to be able to support his team as he is going forward. And that's really important in the Mikel Arteta side. Like, Eddie Nketiah was tracking back like in the second half. And the reason he's knackered half the time is because all of them, actually, they all do their bit defensively as a unit. And Erdegaard's exactly the same. But because of his passing range as well, we're able to spring traps, but across different parts of the pitch. So this isn't just an Erdegaard thing, because Xhaka does it, Partey does it. You've got Zinchenko that can do it. We've got players that have such range in their passing ability. And Erdegaard is just the best at that. I mean, we saw that last week with his, what was it? It was the Brighton game, wasn't it? With the most beautiful sort of curved pass to set Martinelli.
Oh, God.
That's what he's got in his locker. And he's been doing those things every single week. And that's why when we talked earlier about Partey's the most important player. Well, imagine if we lost Erdegaard for a period of time. Like, we wouldn't be the same team.
No.
Because you wouldn't get players finding that space. And when you've got a player like that as well, what happens between teams that decide, they either decide, right, we're going to just put a man on him and almost lose themselves a player, that which is a dangerous strategy, because if he can still float into space, then, you know, you've got a problem. And it also opens up space for other players as well. So even when Ødegaard is perhaps being like essentially man-marked in a game, it just brings other players into play. So I can't speak highly enough of him. And once again, yesterday, also goal scoring, he's added goal scoring. And that is a massive thing for our midfield. I'll say one more thing. 4 years ago, we were all worried because our midfielders got a collective of, do you remember, it was like Granit Xhaka got one goal in the season, Dani Ceballos got zero, yeah. Elneny gets zero. We've now got Granit Xhaka on sort of 5, I think. We've got Thomas Partey on 3. We've got Ødegaard on like 8. You know, Saka and Martinez. We're spreading the goals from around this team, and that makes us really dangerous.
And that is why when Jesus doesn't score, he brings so much more to the team that there's not necessary, because we are banging them in from everywhere. And I just want to find that. Zamir said, the first captain to score home and away against them lot in the same season since Patrick Vieira IV, my captain. I mean, he is just awesome. I'm not going to go on again about the people that didn't want him. It doesn't matter. You all want him now. And the fact that he has just been better than any of us could imagine. Cookie, isn't he? Has he just been better than we thought he could be?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be a real pain and correct that comment, because he didn't score at home. Oh. Sorry to be a pain. I think it what was it? Xhaka, Jesus and Partey in the home game.
Let me down there.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate. I'm really sorry. He has scored for us at home. It was in his loan spill when it was behind closed doors. But I mean, if you fast forward from then to now, oh, what a player, absolute leader in this team. And like we were saying earlier, with regards to Partey, Ødegaard is another one that you just can't replace, because who comes in and gives us what he gives us in terms of work rate, quality and output? Because that's the one criticism I think we've all had of, I think we had it about Saka, Martinelli and Ødegaard last season. I mean, if you look at that front six, basically everyone beyond the defence, it's every player that we had last season. Nothing's changed there. Difference is they're all fit, but they've all raised it a level. Some of them have raised it 2 levels, and I think Ødegaard is definitely one of them. He just looks so composed, so confident in his own ability. Really mature player, perfect captain. I could wax lyrical about the guy, but like you said, that would take me into tomorrow morning.
James, do you feel the same?
Amanda, did you watch the afters on Sky where they interviewed? Yeah. Did you, when him and Ramsdale were talking, and he said, oh, Aaron told me to shoot more this week because we've drilled. He said, Lloris is slow on that side when he goes down. So that goal, the way, obviously the build up and everything, they've obviously, but yeah, to pull the trigger, I was like, because he tried it before and Lloris parried it out for a corner, if you remember.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's had that all week in his head, like, I'm going to bang one here. And yeah, it was, like you said, the way that Sky obviously earlier didn't commentate, that's one of the best goals in a derby that we've seen for ages. And it just, it felt like, oh, it's just, it's a 2-0 to them. Anyway, to me, I was screaming my bungalow down, but to them, it was like a nothing goal. But yeah, it's one of the best I've seen, obviously since that Brzezinski one, I think. Oh, and Flamini's.
Oh, Flamini. I love that one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read something to you that Cole sent me. Arsenal after 18 games in the invincible year, yeah? Played 18 the same. We won 12 at this stage, okay? We won 12 this season. We've won 15. We drew 6. We've only drawn 2. We lost, obviously, nothing. We lost 1. We've scored 34. This season, we've scored 42. We conceded 12. We conceded 14. 42 points then and 47 now. If we wouldn't have lost to United, it could have been on for the Invincibles again. But
do you know what, though? Can I just add to some of those stats? So, again, 47 points so far. We reached a halfway point in our season with the Man United game.
Yeah,
if we win that, fingers crossed, I think it'll be a really tough game. to get that. But if we do win it, that's 50 points at the halfway. So we're in for a 100-point season. That's what we're trending at. We won't get to 100 points. But you start to think about, okay, so how many games do you normally win if you're going to win a Premier League? And I had a little look. Last season, City got 29. The season before, it was 27. These are wins. I'm not looking at draws or defeats. The season before that was 32. And I think that was City or Liverpool, because there's two 32-game seasons. Then you've got a third 32, a 30, and then a 20. The last time it was one with quite a low number of wins was Leicester, who won it with 23. But City and Liverpool have been doing this for a number of years, where they essentially go practically flawless for most of the season and then get a few draws and they'll lose one or two games. This season is different because City have already drawn three and lost three. Newcastle have drawn eight and lost one. Man United have drawn two and lost four. So I think this season's going to be closer towards that kind of Leicester-y, probably a 25, 26, 27 wins gets it to you. When you start breaking down the maths on that, we've got 15 at the moment. If we win 12 more games, that might be the sort of, we might be talking at the sort of numbers that could be really close towards winning it. Depends a lot upon, you know, second half of the season. We could get a Man City that just catch a light and win sort of 16 if they're eight of their remaining 19. But you start to break down the numbers and it starts getting a little bit tasty.
Also, just adding into that quickly, we've got, I believe, more home games than any of the teams around us. I think City have got 11 away games, 9 at home. Same for United, and we've got 11 at home, 9 away. And our away form's impeccable.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we're just impeccable at the moment. It's brilliant. We're at 55 minutes already and we haven't even covered half the stuff I want to cover. Let's just talk about the Ramsdale incident. Okay. Obviously, everyone knows that he was getting a lot of stick behind the goal, like all goalkeepers do. He turned around when we won. He kissed his badge. He said 2-0, whatever he did. Rickarlison actually caused a lot of this. And he started with Tomiyasu on the sidelines. And I don't know if everyone's seen this, but he's a little...
spiteful.
Toad. Just not necessary. So then, obviously, Ramsdale goes to pick up his gloves and his drink. He wasn't even looking at the crowd. He turns his back and some thug comes running down with a scarf over half his face, kicks him in the back, and all hell lets loose. Yeah? And I know for a fact that everyone at Tottenham have condemned this and that fan will be banned. And I'm sorry. I don't care how much you hate somebody. You do not attack anybody, full stop anyway, let alone a player on the field of play that you've been given stick to for 45 minutes. Now, to turn this into a bit of lighthearted funniness is when Arteta was congratulating, I think it was Thomas Partey, and then he sees Xhaka run the length of the pitch to get to Rams. You see Arteta running after him. It's quite a funny clip. I don't know if everyone's seen this and noticed it. And for once, Arteta was praised by Key Packett today to say, well done, because if he didn't do that, World War III would have erupted on the pitch. And to me, this has started with Rickarlison, because he didn't need to do what he did to Ramsdale. James, you understand what I'm saying by this, but with Rickarlison, he's a little
merchant. And I'm really happy that the fan has been caught and punished. They've actually renewed his ticket.
Has that actually happened?
Yeah, they've renewed his season ticket for next season, so he's been punished.
Free of charge.
I do the jokes around here. No, do you know what? Rickarlison always has been an antagonizer. That's when he was at Everton, when he ran with the flair in his hand and everything. That's what he is. That's what he does. And he done nothing all game. And he thought, oh, the game's over. What can I do to make a name for myself, per se? Oh, I know what I'll do. I mean, we've had all these retrospective charges. I mean, I've watched most of the games this weekend. The Fernandez goal that should never have been a goal.
Yeah.
The City players all surround the ref and the linesman, as did a United one. So that's two fines there, please. Fulham versus Newcastle. when the penalty, all the Newcastle players with Trippier leading it all around the red. I want a fine there, please. The Fulham ones complaining that it is a penalty. I want a fine for them as well, please. Because this is, you know, failure to control your players. So there's four fines there that I want to see. But Richarlison has to get something because he taps. I know it's nothing big, but he touches his face. Regardless of what you do, he's touched his face. And that's just, you know, game over, during a game, whatever. You can't be doing that. And that did, you know, pardon the pun, probably spur that fan on to jump in there. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous. I'd be absolutely ashamed if that was the other way around and an Arsenal fan done it. And you see the nearest steward is laughing.
Yeah.
So I hope he loses his job. I don't ever want to see anyone lose their job. However, that guy, I really do, because I'm like, if you think that's funny, then you're in the wrong profession.
No, but what is funny, and Melissa Broadbent has nailed it, it's like running after your naughty toddler in the supermarket. It's exactly what Arteta did with Xhaka. I loved watching that, and it did make me laugh, I have to say. But I do think Richarlison should get done, because he actually, didn't he, Cookie? Do you not think that he actually antagonised the situation?
Richarlison's just mental. Like, if we were in school, he would always be out the classroom. No doubts about it. He's that kid that's got borderline, well, he's got anger issues. It's just an absolute fact of the matter. If you've seen what he did with Tomiyasu, where he's just slapped his arms away. I mean, who does that? It's so weird. It's so petty. The guy's always got frowned eyebrows. Just mental, just an absolute bizarre geezer. But yeah, I mean, he's not helped himself. I mean, he's come on, he's done nothing in the game, obviously frustrated. Ramsdale's doing his best to wind him up, but it's football. Like, we've had this happen so many times against us. I mean, the amount of times that Newcastle wound us up in the game at home, but you don't see us going on there and kicking players. And I'm not going to label all Spurs fans under the same, you know, because they're not all like that. Every single football club has idiots. I mean, I guarantee, you know, as much as we love to say our supporters are brilliant, we will have a couple of idiots in there. Every single club in the world does. But it's just absurd that a player can get that close to a fan can get that close to a player. And remember when Eric Dier went into the stands at Spurs? I mean, it's just weird. There seems to be a real problem with stewardship at Spurs. So yeah, it did put a little sour taste at the end of the game, but you know, it's a very small thing. They've got to get charged for it. I mean, Richarlison's completely instigated that. And it's not just, I know you're saying, JJ, it was a little tap on the face. It's not really that little of a tap. Like, he's probably grabbed his face twice and pushed his head out of the way. Like, it's nasty. It's violent.
I think it looks soft because Ramsdale's so hard, isn't it?
Ramsdale's like, what are you doing? Over him. it's petty, but like you say, he's touched him on the face. If that was in the game, it's a red card. So, yeah. They've got to see action for that. Out of all the games this weekend, that's the one I want to see disciplinary action go against.
But what, and I agree with you, Cookie, and they should and they will, because that would definitely have to be looked at by the FA. But Chris, what Arteta did then, obviously, then all the players, then he tried to not cheer them up, but try to get them to understand what they've just achieved. 8 points clear. 2 goals, clean sheet, beating them at the Lane. We haven't done it for 9 years and, you know, we're on an amazing run here. And he brings all the players towards the fans that are going mental. So he knows what it means to us. We know what it means to them. And we are just one. And I don't think anyone can break that.
Yeah, definitely. And this has been happening for quite a while now, actually. This has been building. This connection between fans, management, people at Arsenal, and the players on the pitch as well. Even things like what they're doing to the stadium, which we'll all see for those of us able to go on Sunday, which we'll all see. Is that up yet? It's all around the stadium now.
They're starting to put it up. It should all be finished by Brentford, apparently. Right.
Yeah. So that's the connection. That's the connection that we're starting to get. It seems like after a few years of people questioning, like, the connection between club fans and players, we're really actually getting that now. And that's really, really nice to see. Just a quick one on Richarlison, £60 million. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I was just looking at some numbers. £60 million, 16 football matches he's played this season. Two goals, both of them in the game against Marseille. So that's zero goals in the Premier League. He's credited with three assists this season, one of which assist was the penalty that he got against us at the Emirates. That's one of his assists. So, yeah, not a great player. Hopefully he continues to remain not a great player. And as long as he's delivering that kind of few outputs as possible, then I'm happy.
Okay, I'm just going to put this up because someone's donated. Thank you, Unique79. Panel, I believe we dodged a bullet with Mudryk going to Chelsea, but we are 16 days into the January transfer market and we haven't signed anyone to improve our options on the bench. Should we be concerned about this? Right, so James, Chris and Cookie, in one word, yes or no, are you concerned?
Yes.
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 I'm not. Isn't it weird? Okay. I understand why. All your reasons are because if one of them gets injured.
Chris summed it up earlier. You can't put all your eggs in one basket.
No.
And look at that squad level where we are now, in the position where we are now, and think that that can sustain this challenge. Add to it, secure the league, then add to it again when we win the league to retain the league in the summer.
Unique, 79, thank you. Three of them agree. I think maybe because I'm just riding on a wave. I do get it. We've got 14 days left, though.
And I trust Edu and Arteta complicitly with
in
this.
In Arteta, we trust. There we go.
Yeah, in terms of recruitment, 100%. 100%.
If you lot can stay on for a bit longer, there's just a few more things I want. If you have to go, just let me know. Jamie O'Hara on TalkSport was the funniest thing when he was ranting about Tottenham and he went, Arsenal, it was like we were playing a testimonial. Arsenal, it looked like Arsenal were playing in a testimonial against his own club. Oh, please. I love that. I love that. And the buzz.
Did you see the video of him, Amanda?
What, in Dubai or wherever? Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant.
All the Arsenal fans filming him, and he's just,
and he's telling everyone where to go. I mean, that's just the fun of it, isn't it? Do a little bit of Richard Keys. He's again had a go at Arteta. It's brilliant. I think what he's doing, he's trying to make him worthwhile again, isn't he? Putting himself back into being discussed, which is what we're doing, and I know I'm the worst for it. By just going at Arteta because we're top. Do you think that, Chris, or do you think there's other reasons? Yep.
The man is an irrelevance these days. His outdated and archaic opinions on football don't really have a place. And so what he's trying to do is remain relevant by doing, you could call it the TalkSport tactic. Let's find a group, a collective of fans that we can really try and find some inflammatory sort of statements or a viewpoint, and then let's really lean into that. And that's what he's decided to do now, because I guarantee you that there is, you could probably show me on four or five occasions this season, by the time we get to the end of the season, Jurgen Klopp, who will have been snarling at an official or stood outside his technical box. Richard Keys is an irrelevance. We should spend as little time talking about him as possible.
I know, and I'm the worst for it, Chris, because I would tell everyone to stop talking about him. I can't stop tweeting him. I'm like Keith Hackett. I said to him today when he praised Arteta, I said, "Gunnar, ask Richard Keys if he agrees." I just want to say hello to Albert JTV. Yes, same old Arsenal family. North London will forever be red. Not North London, London, my lovely. I keep correcting everyone. The whole of London is red. It's just brilliant, isn't it? Okay, let's just quickly jump on to what's coming up. So, the funniest thing is for Spurs fans, they play City on Thursday night. Now, they very rarely lose up there as well. And as my City friends have said, they were absolutely cack against us. They're going to turn into world beaters on Thursday night, which is funny. They often do it if you look at their stats. Now, we actually can't lose, can we, Cooks? Whatever the score is, we can't lose.
No, I'd be really surprised if Spurs turned it on at City. I mean, part of me hopes they do.
but I just can't see it happening. But then again, from what I've seen of City, I mean, watching them in the Manchester derby, I've not seen a City team that lacking in ideas for so long. They just gave the ball away so much. When you compare it to our performance in terms of how they want to play the game, how they want to dominate, they weren't doing any of that. They really lack control in that Manchester derby. So anything could happen in that game. I mean, Tottenham need the points. City definitely need the points. So I hope we see two teams going at it. I'd be more than happy with a 1-1 draw, something like that. You know, I don't want City getting too close to us. I don't want Spurs getting too excited about anything. And then they play each other again the week after. So yeah, I am looking forward to seeing how that plays out. But the game I'm going to be keeping a closer eye on is probably the Palace United game, given that we've got them coming up. I think they've got Varane and Casemiro both on 4 yellows. So potentially another yellow there could see one of them out. I'm not sure if I've got that right. I hope I have. But, I mean, they've won a lot of games going into our game against them on Sunday. And this is Palace always, obviously, a tricky game. It's one that, you know, a lot of top teams go to and struggle against. But Palace haven't been so great this season. But United, as good as they have been, and they've won a lot of games, don't get me wrong, they have played a lot of teams in the bottom five of the Premier League, throwing a Championship side, a League One side as well. Can't discredit the win against Man City. That's a great result for them. But I want to see how they do in a notoriously tough away game in the Premier League. And hopefully, tire them out. We'll have a week's rest. And looking forward to it.
It's interesting. I just would like to put this up. Sorry, I love this. Welcome to the show, Avon. In fairness to City, they have the second best Norwegian in the league. I don't know if we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but it's true though. Tottenham have to turn it on, as Cole said. They have to. They have to get top four. I mean, what an absolute appalling season it'll be for them if they don't, James.
Yeah,
they've got to go for it.
I couldn't care less. Oh, we got to keep doing what we're doing. And do you know what? Cookie summed it up a minute ago. The games that Man United have played, other than the City one, if they didn't win them games, they'd be calling for Ten Hag's head. They're all games that they... If you're Man United, you're expected to win. But they ain't winning on Sunday. As much as their fans are saying, I don't fear Arsenal, I don't fear them.
We're going to do predictions in a second, but I'm just talking about City, no worries, Spurs on Thursday night. We've got Palace United.
Don't care.
I know, I was thinking that, actually. It's quite nice to watch it knowing we're 8 points clear and we can just enjoy it, really. Okay, Suburban, do you think that, I'm just going to ask you and the others, that City or United are our biggest challengers?
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, it's Manchester City.
Okay, Cookie?
I think at this moment in time, I probably would edge towards United. If we blow them out of the water on Sunday, then that might change. But I think the worry I've got with City is that they are capable of going on something like a 10-game winning run. So with that in mind, I'm going to just edge towards City.
Well, I'd also... Can I just... One more thing on that. The reason also, right, I'm not sure on Manchester United is they were fortunate against City. City didn't play well and they were still relying on a lot of fortune from some shocking refereeing. They were fortunate against us. They shafted us on the counter. That's what I worry about for the weekend, having 70% of the ball and they just get space in behind our fullbacks and punish us.
Yeah, but the difference is we've got Partey there. We didn't have him at Old Trafford. I think that's going to be the difference maker.
Yeah, good point.
Good point. Right, so I'm going to come for your predictions now. So everybody in the chat room, tell us what you think. Arsenal v Man United next Sunday at 4:30 at the Emirates, where I'll be there. Cookie, you'll be there next Sunday. Suburban, you'll be there. James?
Don't know.
You'll be there. You don't know.
Don't know yet.
Right. I'm going to put all your predictions up. James, your prediction for Sunday, please.
Arsenal 2, Manchester United 1.
Seems to be Nigel Plum said the same. Alex has said the same as well. I'm sorry, Alex, I can't say your second name, but Zananob, whatever it is. Thank you for your prediction. Unique 79 has gone 2-1. It seems to be the main one. Phil Mack has gone 2-0. Suburban?
Yeah, it does feel like a bit of a 2-1. I do worry about that getting skanked on the counter. But I'll go with 2-1 because that's what the consensus seems to be.
God, there's a lot of everyone's winning here. There's no draws. Cookie, what are you thinking?
3-0.
Whoa. Billy, big balls over there.
Well, I'm just thinking, do you remember when we played Man United in 2015-16 when they were coming to us? I think they were on a bit of a run at the time as well. It was when they had like Morgan Schneiderlin in the team and we just blew them out of the water in the first couple of minutes. I think it was Alexis got a great goal. Özil got, it was just formidable. It was one of the best first 10 minutes I've seen at the Emirates. And we just completely controlled that game from the first minute to the last. I could just see us doing that on Sunday. I'm getting too cocky. As I'm listening to this back, I can definitely feel I'm getting too complacent. Don't get me wrong, I would take a really scrappy 1-0, but to put in like a really commanding 3-0, just to kind of put United back in their box and to assert our dominance, beautiful.
Well, I'm going with Hatchie, 1-0 to the Arsenal. I think it's going to be a lot tighter than we think. But they do play Palace, I think, Thursday night. And Carl is right as well. City played twice before our match on Sunday. Gap could be down to 2 points by the time we play, which obviously puts a little bit of pressure on. We'll have to wait and see. That's why I think we want Tottenham City to draw on Thursday night. It's just been an amazing show. And an hour and 14. And I've got so many other things that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about how amazing Ben White's been. You know, Xhaka was immense yesterday. Gabriel, absolutely. Saliba, it was. And we're going to have to wait until we come back next Monday night for our post-game show after United. Everyone in the chat room, you've been incredible. Honestly, fantastic with all your comments, your support. I'm sure you've all pressed like, because if you're top of the league, you must have pressed like. I want to thank my fantastic guests. James, LL Cool J, tell everyone where they can find you and chat with you.
Yeah, there it is, LL Cool James 91. And remember, get on the train, Amanda. Get on the Arsenal. We're going to win the league train.
So,
come on, hurry up.
James has been asking me to get on this train for about 4 weeks or 3 weeks. And I've not...
A lot longer. It's been like 8 or 9.
But what I've said is if we beat United on Sunday, I'll be on the train with you. Okay? Cookie, thank you again, as always. My little regular stalwart, as they say. Where can everyone find to chat with you?
You can find me to chat with me at JECook96 on Twitter. Feel free to slide into the DMs anytime.
Literally sounds like you're going for
He wants you to slide.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was worried about what I was going to say. I just don't know if my girlfriend's watching or not.
Suburban, where can everyone find you? And who writes a blog every single day?
Yes, I do. Suburbangooners.com is the website, and just at Suburban Gooner. Original.
Suburban Gooner.
On the tweets.
Your Wi-Fi went a bit funny then, Suburban Gooner. Zamir, cheers, PG. Cheers, dudes. We are top. We are top people. I'm just going to put a few comments up. Thank you so much, Nigel. Good show as always, people. Great comments in the chat. See you all next Monday for the United Review Show. Absolutely. Thank you, Sultan. Great stream as always. That's lovely for you to say. Hatchie, great show tonight. Karen Russell, loved it as always. Seriously, best podcast out there. That is so lovely of you to say. Apparently, I need to stop being a Karen. I'm not sure why. What have I been a Karen for? I've no idea, but that is funny. Rancid Pumpkin. I love that name. Thank you, Amanda and panel. Great show as always. You've been brilliant. Carl Stark says, well done, Chris and Cookie.
Where's the love for James?
Yeah, I know. And it's a great show, Amanda.
It's above it. It's above
very
it.
Very nasty.
It's above it. He's told me I smashed it. There you go.
James LL Cool J smashed it. He could have done it all in one sentence. Strange. PJ always rocks. Let's end it on there. There we go. Let's just end it on that. That's lovely. Everyone, thank you so much. As I said, we'll be back next Monday night around 7:30 after we've beaten United. Yes, I'm feeling positive. You've been incredible. Listen, our team's incredible. We're 8 points clear. If you can't enjoy it now, I feel sorry for you. Get on the train with LL Cool J. And let's make this season one to remember. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Same Old Arsenal pod. And we'll be back soon. Remember, always Arsenal.
Sports Social Podcast Network.